Your weekend just got a lot more positive. This is the Mixed Sunday Morning Podcast. I'm your host, Greg Wyckoff. Thank you for joining me. Every week, I talk with members of our community, feature encouraging stories, and have great conversation with guests about their faith, all while enjoying some of the best Christian praise and worship music. Let's get to this week's show. Welcome into Mixed Sunday Morning. It is a great day, as I said in the first segment. There could be no greater day, and I think I have three in here that will agree with me, and it's kind of cool that there are three in here. And mm-hmm. You know, it took how our lives changed in 3 days.
Amen.
Oh, yeah. Mr. Tony, Miss Julie, and Miss Jaden. It is a special day. Yeah. I mean, that Christ rose, and what it meant. You want to go right to left or left to right?
It didn't matter to us.
We'll go right to left.
Sounds good.
What does that day mean to you, Miss Jaden?
Well, it proves to me, and it's very important to me, that, you know, God sent his son not only to die for us, but to come back and prove to us that he is still working and he is still alive. And he can do anything for us if he can raise his son from the dead within 3 days. There is nothing impossible for him. And so that's very important to me.
Amen. That's going to be tough to follow, Miss Julie.
Oh, brother.
we're going to make it tough for Tony on
the end. Let the 13-year-old start. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, same for me. You know, just grew up in church, and my parents taught me to love God and try to do what's right. And but there's nothing like, you know, you could be told about Christ, but until you experience him firsthand, you know, what he did for you on the cross, it's an amazing. It's a miracle, really, when somebody gets saved, just to be snatched out of, you know, the hands of evil and of death. And I'm just so thankful that Christ didn't stay on the cross, that he rose again on the third day, you know, again, proving that he is Lord over all, and there's nothing that's impossible for him. So,
all right. Now follow that up, Mr. Yeah. Tony.
Just keep up with these women here. Well, you know, it's the cross is so significant in our everyday lives, and we don't even really realize it. You know, what Jesus did and the sacrifices that he made make life for us so significant. It's just like my relationship with my wife. You know, the Bible talks about loving my wife as Christ loved the church. You know, all the things that he went through, you know, the world has, and I won't get political, but the world has just come up with all these different ways that love is this and love is that and love, you know. No, love is what Jesus did for us on the cross.
Yes,
and
sir.
Without what Jesus did on the cross, we wouldn't know what love is. We wouldn't know what marriage is. We wouldn't know what anything that of that nature is. And so the significance of him dying and going through that pain and dying to all of that just proves that in his resurrection, there's nothing that we can't be resurrected from. There's, right. we've not gone too far in our sin. We've not gone too far in our marriage. We've not gone too far in addiction that God can't pull us out. Mm-hmm. And so to me, you know, the significance of Easter and the resurrection is that we still have hope.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We have hope.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Great job, guys.
Thank you.
I don't have to say anything today. I'll just sit back and y'all can do it.
Oh, I'm sure you've got plenty that you can say.
I could, but we'll save that for later. We'll be back with more from Griffith & Company right here on Mixed Sunday Morning. Welcome back to Mixed Sunday Morning. I hope you are enjoying the music this morning. We've got, as of 3 weeks ago, 100 new songs added to the show. Wow. To throw into the mix. And some of my absolute favorites, and some of those are coming up. Jeremy Camp, There Will Be a Day, is coming up in the next block, because get ready, because he's not on that cross, because there will be a day.
That's right.
And it's coming soon. It is coming soon. Well, in the studio with us, Tony, Julie, Jaden, Griffith, and I said off air, I always ask everybody, you know, who is, and I would ask you who is, but I love stories. And I how did the two of you meet?
Oh, wow.
Oh.
Well, we actually met at a talent contest. I was putting on a talent contest with the record company that I owned. You know, I grew up here in Sylacauga, and by the time I was 17, I was a part of WYEA Radio in the beginning, and then
wow.
And so And, you know, at 15 years old, I did that and worked with John Vogel here. And so I decided I wanted to get in the music business. And so I opened a record company at 17 years old. And we put on a talent contest in Moody, Alabama. And we had, I don't know, 25 or 30 different contestants. And then this family comes walking in the door late.
Yeah, we were late.
Yeah, you know, story of my life. comes walking in late, and man, they get up and they just absolutely tear the roof off of that place singing. And it was Julie and her sister and her mom, and it was and Joey and her brother, and they were just fantastic. And so I told her, she was, you know, she was a lot younger than me, and I said, you know, if I ever need to hire a singer, I'm going to call you. And she just kind of laughed it off. And 4 years later, I gave her a call. And I said, hey, you know, I'm looking for somebody that can fill in for this trio that I'm out with. And she came in and she filled in. And the rest is just history. We've, you know, here we are now. It's been 15 years coming up in August. We've been married and together for just a little over 16. And so it's been a fun ride.
That's amazing. Yeah. See, my wife turned me down 3 times. To go out.
Wow.
I cut all my hair off. I had long hair. I cut it off. I tried to look better, and still she said no.
Wow.
I had to bribe her to come to my grandparents' house, because I knew if she came to my grandparents' house, she would see what love was.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And that's
awesome.
It started the journey just like y'all started your journey. It's amazing how I call it it's one of the collisions in life.
You should write a book called Three Strikes and You Get It. You know, three strikes and you're not out. You know.
But God does. It's a collision in life where God, his will, his purpose,
absolutely,
is served, bringing the two together that he has planned.
Absolutely.
And it's cool. It's one of the coolest things because I officiate weddings, and it's just an honor to sit up there, because it is. It's the collision.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely. Mm-hmm.
That's awesome.
Of the in-laws and outlaws and all of that, but it is God's hand at work.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Well, all right, we'll be back with more for Griffith and Company right here on Mixed Sunday Morning. It's Mixed Sunday Morning. It's Sunday morning, and I want to thank Robo Motors for being the banner sponsor for Mixed Sunday Morning. In the studio with us this morning, the Griffith family.
Yeah.
You guys came off a great concert last week.
Yeah, we had a blast. Mm-hmm. Brought in the country band Shenandoah and was able to do an opening set for them. And we've been friends for a long time. And I called him and said, hey, you know, we want to do something a little different. And he goes, aren't you like a Southern gospel contemporary Christian worship band? And I said, something like that. And he says, you know, yeah, let's do it. And you know, Marty's he's a Baptist preacher. And so they came up and, you know, they did their Shenandoah stuff, their Two Dozen Roses, and then Marty gets up and gives testimony and starts telling people how to accept Christ from the stage, mm-hmm. which was awesome. But, you know, it was neat. We got up and we put together a little country-ish type set and used some of the worship stuff that we do, and we just kind of had a good time. It was a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we had a great time.
Well, when did you decide to get together as a family and sing?
You know,
that sounds like a loaded question.
Oh, man.
Yeah. So we were kind of doomed from the start, yeah, to be honest with you, the way we grew up.
Both of our families were singing families. You know, my mom and dad traveled and sang. Her mom loved music and sang, and their dad sings, and all her brothers and sisters sing. My brother and my sister sings. And so there was a Griffith family as I was a kid growing up. You know, started back in the 70s. But, you know, we did that for quite some time, and then 2006, my mom passes away, and I decided to take a step away from music. And this was before Julie and I got married. You know, I had met her, you know, a few years back, and, you know, we talked about that earlier. And then I started going through some really hard times and some pretty bad just spiritual struggles when my mom died. And excuse me, I decided to do something different. And so worked at the funeral home for a little while. I was working part-time at the radio station some, you know, just doing different things. And then I decided I wanted to be the police. And so I went out and I policed. As a matter of fact, I got to police with Chris, your brother, for a little while. And worked as a reserve officer here in Sylacauga. Went full-time at Lincoln. Worked at Talladega Super Speedway. That didn't quite do it for me, so I became a bounty hunter and bounty hunted for about 5 years. And In that 5 years, Julie and I had already been married. We had our two girls, and life started getting real tough.
Yes, sir.
And, you know, my mom used to have a saying, if you hang around a mud hole long enough, sooner or later, you're going to get some on you. And I found myself very dirty and very, very, very broken. And we were living in Albertville, Alabama at the time. And I just came home one night and said, look, I want a divorce. I don't want to be a husband. I don't want to be a father. I don't want to be anything. I just want to get out. And she looked at me and smiled, and she just politely said, give me 40 days. And I said, now, Julie, I've seen the movie Fireproof. That stuff's not going to work on me. And she said, if you'll just give me 40 days. And she said, I know that God can fix this. And I said, I just want God to leave me alone. All I've ever wanted to do was do music my whole life. All I ever wanted to do was sing and be on a platform and tell people that God was good. And I've done that. And we just never had any success. And I always had to work a secular job, and I always had to do this and had to do that. And that just never happened. And she said, just give me 40 days. If you love the kids at all, give me 40 days. And I said, I'll give you the 40 days to get your stuff together and figure out what you're going to do and help the kids figure out Dad's not going to be around. I was done. Like, I just was finished. And in the middle of that 40 days, God started doing something, and I would listen to my wife pray for me in the middle of the night. And, you know, I grew up in church, and so, you know, the part of me that did not want her to pray was a little frustrated, but the part of me that grew up knowing that God could do anything kind of wanted to just spiritually encourage her to keep praying, because I knew God was working. And sooner or later, God did something pretty miraculous. And I had at one point even told her I didn't like the way she looked. I mean, she's a beautiful woman, and I was just frustrated. And I woke up one Sunday morning, she's standing at the foot of the bed all dressed up, and it was like the most beautiful woman I had ever laid eyes on. It was like my eyes had been renewed. Mm-hmm. And so we went to this church that Sunday morning. I asked her where she's going. She told me to church. I said, okay, I'll go with you. And we got in there, and they were singing a worship song, You Are So Amazing, and everybody in the church was standing up, and Julie, before the preacher said a word or we had time to do anything, just went to the altar, just ran. And these women gathered around her and started praying for her. And long story short, you know, I started arguing with God, telling him all the things that I'd done for him, and he'd never done anything for me, and it was like somebody started telling scripture that I'd heard as a child in my head. It's like, Lord, I've prophesied for you, I've cast out demons for you, I've preached for you. And God said, depart from me, you worker of iniquity, I never knew you. And so I realized, okay, I've got a head knowledge of God my whole life, and I never got a heart knowledge. And so I ran to the altar, and I asked God to forgive me and to restore my family, and he did in that moment. And I promised him that we would always tell people about him. And so the only way that we knew to do that was by getting out and singing. And so we called a booking agency in Nashville and told them we wanted to sing, and she laughed. And so I said, can we at least just come up and try? And we had a friend that went up with us, and it was Julie and I and one other friend, and we went up and we sang for her. And she said, you've never had a hit. Nobody knows who you are. You've never had a top 40. I can't book you. You can't make me any money. Nobody, you know. And I said, okay. Well, that was on a Monday. On Wednesday, we got a phone call, and she goes, hey, I booked you a church. And I said, you have? And I said, okay, when? And she said, Sunday. And I said, This coming up Sunday? And I was like, well, we're not ready yet. She said, no, you're going. You asked me to help you, and you're going. And by nothing that we had ever done, but by giving that testimony and going and just singing our hearts, the pastor called her and said they were the best group that we've ever had come through our church. And they had some really big names come through, and we were just honored that they would even compliment us that way. And so she booked another, and then another. And then the next thing we know, we're, you know, a full-time singing ministry, and we're at Dollywood, and we're on TBN, and we're at Daystar, and it's a testimony. Yeah. So you asked us how we started singing. That's a long way to get there, mm-hmm. but that's how we're here. And that's how. And now my daughter, she's 13, and my son, who's 19, and, you know, we have five children total, mm-hmm. and four of our children are on the road with us full-time. Mm-hmm. And we wouldn't have it any other way. I mean, we absolutely love it.
And that's what I love about this show. I love it because everybody has a story. Everybody has a testimony. Mm-hmm. Everybody has a story of the Lord working in their life. And that's really cool to listen to. Yeah. That's what I love about doing this. Mm-hmm. Well, all right. We'll come back, and we may have a special segment for Miss Jaden over here.
Hi.
We'll have her coming up on Mix Sunday Morning. It's Mix Sunday Morning. It's been a great 2 hours, and we're finishing up our interview with Tony, Julie, and Jaden Griffith. You guys are awesome. You're amazing. You've been really busy, and busy for the Lord. Mm-hmm. Why don't you tell us what's going on?
Well, I mean, right now we're just ramping up for our summer tour schedule. You know, we've been in the studio. We're working on new music, and we got you some new stuff to listen to. And you know, we're kind of in this cool transition where, you know, Julie and I grew up doing a lot of traditional music, so, you know, very Southern in the stylistic of what we were doing. But then we bring our kids on board, and so, you know, they love the more contemporary and the more worship feeling stuff. And so, you know, we're very much so musical chameleons, and so we love to do a lot of different styles of music. And so right now we're just ramping up, you know, trying to learn all the new material and getting ready to get on the road. We leave out next week, headed to Missouri, and so we're in Missouri. We spend about 2 good weeks in Missouri, and then we have a Canada trip coming up in June. We're going to be gone for about 3 weeks, headed to Canada and West Virginia and Memphis and all of those other places. And so we stay pretty busy. It's crazy. We're out with some incredible artists. I think we're going to do some stuff with Colton Dixon this year, talking about doing some things with Jordan Felice. Mm-hmm. So we, you know, Jason Crabb, I don't know if you guys are playing Jason's new music, Good Morning Mercy.
We do.
He's a great buddy, and so we'll give him a great plug there. But, you know, that's it. I mean, we love to minister to people. We work in small churches, but then we do big outside events, and you name it, and we're a part of it. We want to continue to do that because we feel like we're in a season of God's people really needing to come together.
Yes, sir.
And we really need to start spreading the word that Christ is returning soon. You know, what better day to talk about Him coming back than today? Mm-hmm. So, I mean, you got anything you want to add, Julie?
I mean, just that, you know, we love to share what God has done, you know, for us. We're definitely in a time where people are searching for something. They're searching for authenticity. They want people, and they want to know people who are real. And I think that, you know, every opportunity that we're given to show people the love of God and what He's done, like, be real to them. You know, hey, we're Christians. We love God, but we still go through junk. You know what I'm saying? And so we can help them through that. Matter of fact, through our ministry, God has used us to allow us to be able to walk through other couples' marriage restoration processes. And so we're very honored that God would choose us to do that. But, you know, we just want to help people who are hurting and broken. So we just love it.
Because I've never seen more and more than I've seen these days broken relationships or broken marriages where either the husband, wife, male, female, boy, go off on a journey of trying to find myself. Mm-hmm. And it's the Lord they're looking for, but Satan he's back there with this lie that you have to go find yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, you got to know who you are in Christ before you know who you are as an individual. And I think that's the biggest thing. And, you know, we do men's conferences and women's conferences and marriage conferences. And one of the things that I encourage the men, you know, it's like if you come home and you're going through these stages, which we all go through, feeling disrespected or unappreciated or, you know, not feeling like you're living up to the standards that you may have set for yourself, you know, we have to remember that we are nothing within our own physical being, mm-hmm. nothing. Mm-hmm. And we're so quick to be carnal in all of our decisions, and we think in the flesh and everything that we do, but mm-hmm. we have to remember that there is a spiritual realm, and there are spiritual things and forces at play. And so we have to remember that if we're not strong spiritually, then we're going to be weak physically, because you know the Bible says that the enemy has to bind the strong man of the house mm-hmm. before he can take over the home. And that's why the man is so important in the family structure. That's why the enemy is attacking men, and that's why, you know, the man is not a manly man like he used to be. And you know, I won't get too far off into that thing, but the world is trying to say, oh, well, just be the man that you want to be, or be this kind of man, or mm-hmm. you know, don't learn how to do this, don't know how to learn to do that. But yeah. without a man that leads his family, It's 85% more likely when a man leads his family and he goes to church first, it's 85% more likely that the whole family attends church and comes to know Christ. Mm-hmm. Without that male figure, it drops drastically. And so it starts with us men. And then the same thing with the women, a supportive woman who loves her husband, loves her children, loves the Lord. You know, we don't have to find ourselves. We just need to find ourselves in Christ. And when we do that, mm-hmm. then he's got to be enough. And then everything else just comes into play.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Well, amen. As we wrap it up this morning, it is Easter. Something real quick, maybe each one of you could say to somebody that's listening that is struggling through whatever they're struggling in life. We all struggle.
Sure.
I mean, even the best of us struggle.
Yeah. Every day.
To uplift somebody this morning.
You know, I just have to say, don't give up. Yeah. Don't quit. Yeah. You know, it's not over till God says it's over. Yeah. You know, as simple and as cliche as this sounds, you know, the old saying, that there was an old gospel song I used to hear when I was a kid. I read the back of the book and we win. Mm-hmm. Listen, this thing, you're going to make it. God's got you. You're going to get through. Just trust him, believe him, and he'll never leave you, never forsake you, go with you to the very end of the world. And that's more than enough.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think just for me, really this year, well, really over the last probably 6 months, God's just really been showing me, you know, reconfirming we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. Like, you can have an issue with your spouse or an issue with your child or an issue with your parent or with a friend or whoever. And, you know, it's so easy for us to be carnal and to get angry at them. Even if we have the right to feel that way that we have or the way that we do, we can't react or respond out of those feelings because, again, it is not, it's not flesh and blood. I mean, everything, you know, we always like to not make everything spiritual, but like it is a spiritual battle.
It is. Mm-hmm. It's principalities. Yeah. And that's all that is. It's a spiritual battle.
It's a war for our soul. It's a war for our kids. It's a war over our marriages, over our families. And, you know, we just have to make sure that we fight, you know, with weapons that will work, which is through prayer and through the word of God and reading and praying the word of God over your situation. I have seen that work amazingly firsthand. Like, nothing else will work but that word of God. It's powerful and it's alive and it's sharper than any two-edged sword.
Miss Jane, you are last now after following that. What can you tell one of your friends who's struggling?
Well, just as a youth, don't let anybody tell you who you are. God is really the one working on you and trying to make you who he wants you to be and who you need to be. So no matter if you're going through a time in your life where your friends don't think you are who you need to be, or maybe you're in a tough situation where your parents don't think you are who you need to be and they don't follow Christ, pray about it. Read God's word. He has so much planned for you, and you don't have to look at other people's opinion of who you should be. God has a plan for you, and he's waiting for you to let him in so he can guide you to be who he wants you to be.
Well, amen. Y'all have been just amazing today. I thank you for taking the time to come.
Thank you for letting us come. Thank you for, you know, doing what you do. It's people like you that help us stay on the road and do ministry. And, you know, all of these artists are who they are because of people like you playing our music. And, you know, this is what the world needs. Mm-hmm. You're an outreach. Even like a pastor, you're an outreach.
Yeah. How do people get in touch with you?
They can find us on our website, griffithfamilymusic.com. You know, so whether you like old Southern gospel or you like contemporary Christian or worship, there's something on there for everybody. Mm-hmm. Of course, we're on Facebook and Instagram, just Griffith and Company. You can look us up. And then we also have a recording studio, gfmproductions.com, or you can go to find us at GFM Productions. And, you know, we do video shoots and we do recording and all kinds of cool stuff.
I've got to get over there.
You got to come see the
place. Got to come. I have to come.
Got some cool people coming.
Well, all right. Well, y'all have a very happy Easter, and thank you for all that you're doing. In any way I can help you, just please let me know.
Same here.
Thank you.
All right.
Thank
you. It's the Griffith family right here on Mix Sunday Morning. Hey, it's the verse of the hour, but I'm going to share 7 of them with you. It comes from Matthew chapter 28, and we'll start with verse 1. And it says, the Bible says, after the Sabbath, at dawn, on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and, going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus, who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, he has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you. What a glorious day. Amen. It's Mick Sunday morning. Thank you for sticking with us this morning. A 3 hours of great music, but what 3 hours we had today. I want to thank Tony, Julie, Jaden, Griffith for coming in this morning and sharing from their heart. As I was driving to work Thursday morning, something just overcame me. And it was about the crucifixion. I mean, how could somebody, some people be so cruel to a man that did nothing to them? He didn't do anything to them. In fact, he was one of the most peaceful men that had come. I want to read something, because I love all the Facebook posts that were put out this week. I love how people share the news of Jesus. And this post said, greatest man in history, had no servants, yet they called him master. Had no degree, yet they called him teacher. Had no medicines, yet they called him healer. He had no army, yet kings feared him. He won no military battles, yet he conquered the world. He committed no crime, yet they crucified him. He was buried in a tomb, yet he lives today. His name is Jesus, the name above all names. I love telling this story on Easter. Jesus isn't on the cross, and he had to come off of that cross, and he had to rise, because he's sitting right now at the right hand of God, and he's coming for you. He's coming for me. Are you going to be ready? See, he didn't go through all of that. He didn't go through the whipping, the beating, the just the pure, despicable things they did to him if he didn't love you. If he didn't love me, and he'll do miraculous things in your life. You have the power of that resurrection in you. Believe in it. Have faith. He can change your life. God bless you. And if that Son of God doesn't come back before next week, I'll be back for another edition of Mixed Sunday Morning. But for now, enjoy your Easter, this wonderful day with your family. I'm Greg Wyckoff, signing off for Mixed Sunday Morning. That does it for this week's Mixed Sunday Morning podcast. Thank you for listening. If you liked what you heard, be sure to share it with your friends. Listen to the full show each Sunday morning from 8 to 10 on Mix 106.5 or online at mix1065radio.com. I'm Greg Wyckoff. See you next time.